Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. No pleasure here on earth I find. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
to serve the table. Always looking to serve the table and the Knights of the Round Table.
Everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. So, I'm looking over here at the website on the Knights of the Round Table, and I want to remind everybody out there what the actual purpose of the Knights are. I got some nifty pictures over there that one of which says the Knight's Coat of Armor. Knight's Coat of Honor. I need to learn how to speak straight. It said, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be the guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. And right underneath that is a really cute little picture as far as I'm concerned. It's a little squirrel. He's in his little suit of armor, and he's got a little sword and a shield, and says, even the smallest knight can make a difference. I'll copy the link and paste that one in the chat room as well. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, and you can join us in the chat room and talk about today's show and so on. It's easy to become a knight, it's easy as a simple Skype call. You know, we get on here, we have respectful conversations about different things going on in the world and such. Over there in the chat room, I posted some links in there about, essentially about media. But before I go into media, I want to say that truth, there's a phrase out there on the YouTube and social media networks, the Truther Networks, what they call it. You got to take everything you hear these days with a grain of salt, so to speak. Some people say maybe even a truckload or a trainload of salt. But truth is subject to the honesty of the teller, as far as I'm concerned. From everything that I've seen throughout there, you know, somebody's always got an agenda. They want to do something and get something done, so they try to sway the public opinion into whatever direction it is that's basically going to get their agenda through. Now, a lot of people in the Truther community, the biggest complaint is that the mainstream media has been lying and propagandizing the people for their own personal agendas. And from what I've seen, that's exactly the truth. That's what they do. You know, my friend Thomas, who's also one of the Honorable Knights of the Round Table, pointed out to me the Fairness Doctrine, which I'll read just a little bit of this. It's on a Wikipedia article, which I also posted the link over there to the chat room. It says the Fairness Doctrine was a policy of the United States Federal Communication Commission, FCC, introduced in 1949 that required the holders of broadcast license both to present controversial issues of public importance and to do so in a manner that was, in the Commission's view, honest, equitable, and balanced. The FCC eliminated the doctrine in 1987, and in August 2011, the FCC formally removed the language that implemented the doctrine. The Fairness Doctrine had two basic elements. It required broadcasters to devote some of their time to discussing controversial matters of public interest and to air contrasting views regarding those matters. So anyway, essentially what that basically says is that if you come on there and you got a controversial subject that you're talking about, you got a put out, the opposing view at the same time so that they get a fair and balanced deal and everybody's getting an option to hear both sides of the story and make an honest decision or whatever about what they're hearing, what they're believing or not. Well, some saw this as a attack on the First Amendment, free speech, whatever, and others liked it. But the problem with the Fairness Doctrine, from what I can see, and basically today's just the first day that I've ever really heard about it. I used to know that they I used to think that you should be able to trust the mainstream media that they were going to be honest and upfront with until I got older and realized that that just simply isn't the case. But the problem that came about because of the fairness doctrine was that people would, abuse that fairness doctrine in order to still further their agenda. So no matter which side you came on whether or not you liked the fairness doctrine or you didn't like the fairness doctrine, one side of the view was that it was giving the government too much power to decide what is truth and what isn't truth, and the other one was that, you had to watch out for special interest groups and such that were going to abuse this deal. Well, either way, they took it out, and there was actually Supreme Court cases over the deal, and there was actually Supreme Court cases, believe it or not, that literally said that you can propagandize to your own people. You can get out there and you can flat out lie. As a matter of fact, in law enforcement, there was actually a Supreme Court case that said that you could actually lie to somebody who was trying to get evidence on in order to be able to, use that as evidence against them. So essentially, that kind of fell under borderline entrapment, where you could literally lie to somebody, I'm not going to tell on you if you got drugs or something like that. I just want to know, or whatever. And then once they find out you do, then bam, you're going to jail. But, basically led into that, under false pretenses, so to speak. And the same thing could apply out there in the media. When you want to get somebody elected, you can come out and say they're going to steal Granny's wheelchair, they're going to steal Grandpa's wooden leg and false teeth, and they're going to take away the old folks' Social Security and so on. And so, when people get on there and they're listening and believing that they can trust their mainstream media source because they've been watching these folks for years, they got honest-looking faces, they got nice characters and everything, and so I can trust what they say. And if they say that, let's take for example, they've been portraying Donald Trump as a racist, right? Well, I've actually witnessed this from my own family, that I watched the entire deal where they was saying that Trump supposedly said that all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers and diseased and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of what was said there wasn't that when taken in full context. If you listen to everything that was said from start to finish in the particular speech, what they used, they only pulled out what they wanted, which sounded really bad by itself, and replayed it over and over on the TV station so that they could basically further their agenda and get their particular candidate elected. And so, I was talking to a family member who just so happened to be Mexican, and they were talking about how Trump was a racist. I heard it from his own mouth. He said Mexicans were this and that and all this, and I'm like, no, that ain't what he said. I said the media only picked out the part that they wanted you to hear. What if it was taken in full context, what he was essentially saying is the Mexican government doesn't want some of these people over there. They don't want to pay for them to be in jail, so they'll run them across the border. Or people coming through the gates legally, they go through the process where other people, criminals, they get in trouble over in Mexico and decide they want to run across the border for, freedom and safety and such. And you don't know who's coming across that border. And so that's basically the concept. And keep in mind, I am just paraphrasing, but that's essentially what Trump was saying. But it was blown completely out of proportion, taken completely out of context, and essentially put a large population of the American people to believe in that Trump was nothing more than a racist. Regardless of what you actually think of the man or whether you believe he's actually going to do a good job, we all hope that he does a good job. When it comes down to how he was portrayed in the mainstream media, There was no fairness doctrine going on there. There was no honest reporting. It was essentially, I want my candidate in there, and so we're going to demonize this individual to the extent that nobody will vote for him. Well, unfortunately for the mainstream media, is that the average Joe had been lied to so many times, had been propagandized to so much, that they finally got fed up. They didn't believe nothing the mainstream media said. They didn't trust the mainstream media. They lost faith in the United States government because of all the shenanigans and wars and craziness going on. You know, when you talk to everybody who's in your general circle, and you ask them, you know, which candidate do you support, and they overwhelmingly say one particular name and not the other, but then you turn around and you listen to the mainstream media who's saying, well, the majority of the American people say, where are they getting this information from? And by them saying...
But it's called cherry picking if they're not flat out lying.
Yeah. Well, by them saying that the majority of the American people say a certain thing about a certain subject, that basically tells everybody out there, you know, and a lot of people like to just go along and get along, follow the crowd kind of thing. Instead of doing research to find out if, yeah, this is the truth, if this is what the majority of American people think, they listen to the fake polls and they listen to the fake news and so on and so forth. Well, I posted some links over there in the chat room of some, basically one of them was from Mark Dice, for whatever you think about the man. He kind of cracks me up the way he delivers his message, but regardless, he points out things, you know, that what mainstream media like just flat out gets caught faking stories and lying and whatever. And keep in mind, the same could be said in the alternative media community as well. So, truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. Depending on what their agenda is, might be dependent on how honest they are about whatever it is that they're saying. But like you said, Thomas, if they're cherry-picking the information and they're giving it to you, you know, the way that's going to make their story sound more plausible, that to me... Well, there's no fairness doctrine in that. Not you know, between... It used to be whenever I was a kid, Grandpa used to say that a man's word is like gold. And, you know, if you keep that word and you always be honest with people, that you build up a reputation and people know that they can trust what you have to say. Once you lose that, it's almost impossible to get it back. It's a lot of work. It's a long, hard road to try to regain your trust and honesty from people after you've lost it. Well, mainstream media has a long ways to go now because of all the years of shenanigans. Now, the fairness doctrine, in its basic sense, probably would have been a good thing, you know, had it been used properly. But, you know, it's always a way to abuse it. There's always a loophole in every type of system. You know, they used the fact that you had to give somebody fair and equal time in order to be able to try to get this thing kicked to the curb by forcing media outlets that, you know, if you say something bad about somebody, whether it's truthful or not, you got to give them equal and free airtime in order to say their side of the story. You know, back in, let's say, the 1940s through the 50s and all the way up into the 60s or whatever, I feel like, because I come from the generation where I was born in the 60s, that it seemed to me, at least, that people back in those days had a little bit more pride in themselves and a little bit more honesty under their belt, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It was a different world back then. Nowadays, you got to wade through everything to find out what's the truth. And that's a pretty bad deal. You know, no matter how you look at it, if you can't tell that somebody's trying to be honest with you, you know, if you can't trust in what they're saying, then what's the point of even getting news? Brandon's mentioned a quote many times about, you know, if you get... Brandon, are you there? Maybe not. You might be asleep. Anyway... basically those who read the news are ill-informed or something like that. I don't know. Basically, you can get lied to by reading news. Anyway, I posted that picture down there in the chat room for the Knights of Roundtable. It's a Knight's Code of Honor. It says, "Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right." That's simple. It's also one of the reasons why I played that song, Simple Man, because it's a simple man, a humble man, an honest man that, I want to model my life after, at the very least, try to be as best as I possibly can, honest to folks, and give them the truth. Out here in the alternative media networks, truth is what everybody's looking for. And so we can't find ourselves trying to skew any of the information. We have to present it just as it comes out. When you see mainstream media's lying and stuff, and you find stories about government corruption, you need to vet that information. You need to really, honestly be careful about what you repeat because of the fact, such as the Russian hacking thing of the election. There's still a segment of society that believe the Russians hacked the election because their candidate didn't win. They're upset that somebody hacked the election. Well, it was never verified, and it more than likely wasn't even truthful, that there was a lot of election fraud, but it was coming from the other party trying to beat the party that won. In reality, the American people were so fed up with all the craziness going on that they came to the polls in masses and said, "No, we don't want another 8 years of these type of policies and such. Our country's going down the toilet. We're being told every single day that we got to go to war for something, or that there's a terrorist behind every bush, yet our borders are wide open." If you're told that somebody's coming to get you, but yet you're leaving the gate wide open and nobody's standing there guarding the gate, then what's going on here? Think about this for a second, folks. The Border Patrol in the United States is 100 miles away from the actual physical border. Now, there are people down on the border, but they're so scarce that they can't fully complete their job. There's no way that they can control miles and miles of, unopened or unprotected border. If they could, if they were backed up by the same laws and the same government who passed those laws, then they could enforce the border and tell everybody, you're welcome to come to the United States. They just got to go down there and go through that gate there, and we got a little process. We want to make sure that, everything's good. And that's, to protect the citizens of the United States. But, now it's like a catch-and-release kind of deal. You catch them, you release them into the population. So what was the point of even catching them to begin with? And a lot of border agents get frustrated with that. Some of them might actually even get involved in, the drug portions of it, or, actually helping people get across the border illegally because it's financially, they can make some money at it. It's tough times. But if the Border Patrol is 100 miles away from the border, you got people coming in, you got mainstream media constantly telling you that you're under the threat of certain terrorist organizations, but yet nobody's protecting the border. My thing is, common sense would dictate, if this is really a issue to where we've got potential of drugs and guns and violence and disease and terrorists coming across the border, why wouldn't you take and move your Border Patrol checkpoints to the border? I'm just saying. That's a common sense question on the minds of all the people out there. All the average Joes. We as individuals, we don't have the power to stop everything out there. We don't have the power to basically enforce common sense. We've got these people that go represent us, and they're supposed to set laws in place, and they're supposed to faithfully execute these laws. But when you have a commander-in-chief of the military there that just doesn't want to basically picks and chooses which laws get enforced and which ones don't. And the borders are still wide open. The economy is still supposedly going down the toilet. And life here in America is not only dangerous, but you're surrounded by racists and xenophobes and homophobes and blah, blah. We've heard it all. You know, to get to the actual truth out there, to find out what's actually going on out there, you're really going to have to get out there in your own communities and find out for yourself. If you're sitting on the couch or basically bunkered into your doomsday bunker and you're watching the mainstream media, you would believe that the entire world is in total chaos. I can look outside my door and it's pretty peaceful out there. I don't see no terrorists running through my yard. I don't see no racist out there trying to get me or anything. You know, that's just in my little piece of the world. Maybe I'm one of the lucky few that just isn't surrounded by all the terrible things that have supposedly been going on because of the mainstream media said. Mainstream media actually said that Trump got elected, that it was basically the end of America. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they made it sound like. You know, we was going to have a Hitler running the country. We just elected a king. Well, I've been around for a while, and I've been watching this last 8 years of what's going on and the executive orders and all the craziness. Patriot Act, National Defense Authorization Act, and then some. And that don't seem to me like freedom. It seems to me like every time something happens out there, there's a little hammer and a chisel going on, and it's just chipping away at all the freedoms and rights that we're supposed to be afforded to by the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And for the mainstream media to keep on propping up that same system that is chipping away, they're complicit. They're helping out the situation. They're not only guilt by association, but actually, you know, involved. I don't know if that's the right terminology to use, but if they're sitting there propagandizing to you, and protecting the ones that they want in office that have been shown time after time to be corrupt individuals that have done all kinds of things that were at the very least questionable, shady or otherwise, then that to me makes them just as guilty as the parties that actually did the crime. There's a legal term for that. I can't remember what the doggone term is, but it's stronger than the words guilt by association. Either one of you guys know what I'm talking about? The word that I'm looking for? Whenever, like, say I go to the bank with you and you rob the bank and I don't do nothing to stop you.
Guilt by association?
Well, yeah, that's what I said the first time, but there's another term that's a lot stronger than that. Basically, you're part of it. You did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that means for what you're talking about, you have to directly be participating in a manner that assists the person who's robbing the bank, like driving the getaway car or something. Yeah. So, and that's exactly what I was proposing, that they need to institute some laws, some very strong laws that actually have people going to jail in corporations for participating by buying from companies, say, that are using slave and child labor and whatnot, instead of trying to crack down on imports the astronomically difficult way by trying to, you know, protect the entire country that way. You just target the companies that are doing wrong, and it won't be long before they won't be willing to do business with these foreign businesses that are practicing what we consider illegal. Stop treating it as it's okay as long as it's not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Now, if they're doing it in another country and you're assisting them by buying goods that make it, you know, profitable for them to do it, you go to jail too. You get fined for it too.
I think that that should actually be put one step further, actually into media outlets, and I would even go to say as far as even alternative media outlets.
That's what I was saying. They should give, like, if they're going to report on a news story, they don't necessarily have to report any opinions on an event that happens, but report the statistics. You know, this thing you're reporting on. Have a look through and see how often something like this has actually been seen to happen, so that way people don't immediately, because you just reported five of them in a row, since there are 300 million instances for it to happen, don't assume that every time they walk out the door there's like a 90% chance it's going to happen to them too. Or that 90% of the people that are involved in that instance, in the for example, in the police brutality, are actually guilty of it, when actually it's maybe, you know, less than a tenth or a hundredth or even a thousandth of a percent that are actually guilty of this.
Yeah.
Which means that you could go your entire life meeting, 10 cops a day and absolutely never meet a bad one.
Legally, you cannot go into a crowded theater and shout fire for amusement purposes. Right.
Exactly, because it is dangerous to the people who are there. You can cause physical and bodily harm.
Yeah, and so the same...
Property damage, the whole nine yards.
The same thing, that's what, instead of calling it the fairness doctrine, maybe they should get one basically called the shout and fire doctrine, that if a mainstream media comes out, we've got a false story that is proven to be false, and they knew about it, and literally put the information out there anyway, and somebody got hurt and they could get, legally, criminally, liably, or whatever, held accountable for that news story. Where it would be so incredibly easy for some victim of, this story that was, beat up because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, just happened to be a certain color in the wrong neighborhood that had been propagandized to say that this particular race was, basically bad people and were targeted. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, I get you.
So,
and the problem with that, though, is that would only apply to people who are lying.
Yeah.
With the words that they're saying. If you go out and you report on an actual situation that happened, you can literally, by cherry picking, give nothing but the truth, but still manage to skew the overall view of what you're putting out there. And that's why I said the statistics would ensure that they couldn't skew things.
Yeah.
By only reporting on one particular aspect of a topic. Because, by only reporting on one particular aspect of a topic, you could totally skew the view of the entire topic.
Well, it's like that example that I gave earlier about what they said about Trump. Trump, actually, the words came out of his mouth, but it wasn't said in the context that they portrayed it in. They didn't play the whole entire deal of what he was actually trying to explain to people. They just took the portion that, it was truthful. He really said it, but he didn't say it the way that it was meant. If you understand what I'm saying,
that's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
They need to provide the entire story.
That's what the fairness doctrine should have been about. But, they turned around and they find loopholes to further agendas. There's always a way, using the law. Our system of law isn't perfect. And sometimes the wheels of justice turn really slow. But I think that overall, we got probably the best legal system out there if it was used properly without, all the abuse. You can get somebody off of a crime with a technicality, They may be just so flat out guilty it ain't even remotely funny. All the evidence could be pointing, they did it. They got hundreds of witnesses that saw it. But one technicality, such as an illegal search or whatever, any evidence found after that illegal search can't be admitted in court. You see what I mean?
Well, that's what they tried to pull with Clinton and her emails. They claimed that basically the evidence is illegitimate because it was obtained illegally.
Yeah.
You don't get mad at somebody for turning... Well, let's put it this way. You can be mad at somebody for breaking into your house. But, you know, don't discount what you see because they turned the light on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have somebody that's breaking into your house to steal your TV and they turn the light on. And because of the noise, you come into the living room and can now see the entire full living room and find out that your wife or your husband is cheating with somebody on your couch. That doesn't discount the fact that they're still cheating on you. You eject the criminal from trying to break in your house, and then you deal with the other problem.
Well,
instead of just saying, "Well, I can't say that happened because you know it was a thief that basically came in and turned the light on for me to see what happened." So I'm gonna pretend that didn't happen. And unless I get evidence legitimately, like, you know, I walk in to get a sandwich and turn the light on, then it didn't happen. No, that's a load of crap.
In law enforcement, there is what's known as the plain view doctrine. Such as, like, you know, I get pulled over for speeding. You know, I was honestly speeding down the road. He clocked me on radar and he stopped me, right? Well, up to that point, he doesn't have no other authority to, like, search me, my vehicle or anything like that. All he's got right now is that I was speeding. All right? Well, now, if he walks up to the door and he happens to look down inside the anywhere in plain view and sees some sort of illegal contraband or, you know, maybe a dead body laying in my back seat or something like that, well, now he's got full of justification for, searching my vehicle for, you know, any further crimes. But he has to actually follow a trail, so to speak. You know, from what I saw there, I went and picked this dope up off the floorboard of the car, and as I was bending down to pick up the dope, I saw this gun laying up underneath the seat. And, I already been notified because of the traffic stop that this man had felonies and, you know, he wasn't supposed to own a firearm, but yet there's one in his possession, so on and so forth. Now, the technicalities that end up getting things thrown out of court would be such as, you know, without no reasonable suspicion or probable cause, this officer does an illegal search, opens up a glove box that was locked. You know, he gets a screwdriver or a pry bar out of his trunk and pries open the glove box. He hadn't had no authority to look in that glove box. He couldn't see no reason to even go in that glove box.
Or he just stopped him because he didn't recognize the vehicle in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
He just wanted to have a looky-loo and see who they were and then spotted some stuff he wasn't supposed to see.
You can't just walk up on your property, look in your window, and look around for anything illegal. He's got to have a reason for being on your property.
Right. Like, as he's walking by, he sees something that looks suspicious that they honestly recognize as, hey, that is suspicious. I would have went and checked that out, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I saw these legs sticking out of the bush, and so as I walked over to see what the heck was going on, because I thought somebody might be hurt, and,
there's a dead body.
Yeah, there's a dead body down there. I had to look inside the window, and I seen a bloody knife on the table, and so, you know,
right.
I executed my own search.
You know, that actually brings up a kind of curious piece of movie trivia. You know that O.J. Simpson was slated to play the Terminator, and the director couldn't see him being cast as, he just seemed like too nice of a guy to be cast as a killer.
Wow. Man. Well, you know, we want a better world out there, folks. All of us want a better world, but, you know, we're going to have to figure out some doggone way to hold not just our elected officials accountable, but the people that we get our news from, you know. We gotta hold them accountable. The Fairness Doctrine, according to the Supreme Court, was, you know, deemed to be not so fair, I guess, as far as constitutionality or whatever, because it actually cut into the First Amendment. But the actual concept of what the fairness doctrine was about, to ensure that, you know, you're not buying a newspaper that is totally skewed one way with a bunch of lies to tell you a bunch of lies to get you to do or react in a certain manner, or vote for a certain candidate or whatever. And be honest about it. There had to be some sort of accountability. Well, now that's gone. Now, you know, it's okay to propagandize. It's okay for the government to literally make their own news stories and pass it on over to the media outlets. In the old days, the media outlets would probably vet that information and you know, verify that, you know, hey, this is true. This is really going on, before they'd air it out there, because they had a reputation to uphold. But when they stopped caring about the reputation and only cared about the ratings, you know, then there's where the problem began. Now you can't even turn on the news without finding out there's violence out there. Beer sales, sex sales. You know, this has got to say a lot about our society. And I keep playing that deal about Paul Harvey in 1965, but there's a reason why I keep playing that. I mean, what he was talking about, if you allow society to go down this deal without, you know, at least trying to, you don't have to stand there while somebody's telling a bunch of racist jokes and, you know, just be complicit in it. You don't have to join in. You don't have to stand there. You can turn your back on them. Sorry, man. You know, that's just not something I like to hear, you know, and walk away from them. There's something to say for, you know, honest shunning of people, if you understand what I'm trying to say here, where you hold each other accountable for honesty and decency.
But right. Well, the same mentality is what libertarians preach, dealing with people. Like, say, you know, everybody needs to help take care of the roads, right? And if you don't want to pay your fair share, we make it basically public knowledge what's been paid for, so that we can see the guy with the dually that's tearing the roads up is not paying his fair share to help repair those same roads that he's damaging. So, you know, sorry, you can't have electricity. No, nope, you can't. I own the electric company, no electricity for you. I own the water company, you can't have any water. At any price, I won't sell it to you. You want to buy groceries? No, I know you're not taking care of the roads that my delivery drivers have to bring stuff in with your fair share, so you can't have any more of my groceries. You're not allowed to shop here anymore. You're not allowed to, you know, basically just not allowed to have any participation because you're a bad citizen, you know. Rather than going out and forcefully taking taxes out of people's pockets, you just withhold what you personally control from those people that are doing wrong. You know,
just get them to.
When they, if they're like, "Oh crap, I didn't realize I was doing that. Here, let me solve that. I'm gonna go ahead and, you know, go get some asphalt and fix up this much of these roads here because that should take care of my portion of the destruction." You're like, "Oh, okay. Well, it's good that you recognize it now. Don't forget in the future, you know, because we don't like even having to know about this nonsense. We got business to take care of. It's actually hurting our business to have to stop and take time to figure out who we need to deny access to our goods." Yeah, you know,
so in a sense, the fairness doctrine could have went a lot further than what it did. It could have actually went into the tax situation. If you're going to agree to pay in taxes anyway, then it should be fair across the board. I kind of like the whole idea of a flat tax, that you know you go out, maybe pay a small percentage, and we all agree that these are to upkeep the roads and, you know, basically take care of the schools. But the way I see it right now, the tax situation is so far out of control, and it's under threat of violence, like you've been pointed out so many times. If you don't pay your taxes, they'll steal your home from you and so on. You know, I don't think that there should be any reason why they should be able to take your taxes because you can't financially afford to pay your taxes a certain year or so, you know? You know, if there was some sort of other, you know, kind of deals.
Means.
Yeah, to take, like for example, you know, hey, you're not paying your share of the road tax, so we're not going to fix the road in front of your house. Well, I guess that would affect everybody else who wanted to travel in front of my house. But in the same sense, the neighbors were like, you know, when are you going to pay your doggone taxes? Because I'm tired of hitting that chuck hole in front of your house. And you're saying, well, brother, you know, I would pay them, but I just ain't got the money. Maybe, you know, you might get some sort of help that way out or whatever. I don't know. It's you see the road that we have to travel
right
down?
Right, right, yeah. I mean, that's understandable. The point is, what I was describing is what's called a non-initiation of violence system, where basically you can be violent to somebody who breaks into your house and is threatening to kill you because they initiated violence against you. You didn't initiate it against them. You didn't start it, you're just finishing it.
Yeah.
But you don't go out of your way to initiate violence against anyone over something that's not violent.
And you don't take it to extremes.
Well, no, I mean, the point is you're not initiating the violence in the first place for, like I said, for any reason whatsoever other than violent acts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't initiate unless it's initiated against you. If it's over money, if it's over food, if it's over, you know, who owns what or whatever, none of those things are violent actions, so you don't initiate an act of violence against anybody over that. There are other methods to initiate, other than violence, that can solve those problems, you know, and in a democratic manner, a truly democratic manner. I mean, everybody knows you're not paying for, you know, the roads that you're tearing up and they're having to pay for them, so they just start withholding services. If it's that extreme, they could just raise their price, say, no, everything's 10% higher for you.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't have to keep up the roads, and you're tearing them up really badly, so I'm going to take that 10%, and I'm going to give it to the guys who, you know, we pay to fix the roads and give them the extra money they need to continue fixing those roads.
Well, see, now that's understandable. That sounds
you want to buy food that doesn't cost you 10% more. I guess you're going to have to use that dually to drive to the next town over where they don't know that you're not taking care of the roads here, you know? You go over there and you're like, oh, we don't know where you're coming from or what you're doing, so you come here to grocery shop, it's, 5% more. And then if we find out later that it's because, you know, you're being shunned by your community and they're charging you more for your food because you don't take care of your roads, we're going to send that money over to them to help them out. Because we do business with those people in that other town, too. Sooner or later, we're going to find out, you know?
Well, you know, there's actually a lot of common sense out there. There probably would be better ways to do things. But I think that for the most part, the world and the American people in general have allowed this stuff to go on for so long that it's become the norm, you know?
Well, it's more than that. It's become addictive. People are not going to fight that hard against child labor and slave labor in third world countries because they have become addicted to cheap Walmart prices.
Yeah.
And they get this addiction by, you know, the federal system that creates the money that we use that's actually a private organization who only has one concern, and that's the bottom line, the amount of money that they can make off of what they do. And since they make money, they can't tally that money in dollars. They have to tally it in things tangible like land. So they can consume and absorb everything in the country. We're literally giving our country to the people who own the Federal Reserve, you know, an acre at a time, until eventually there will be nowhere for anyone to live. It'll be like the king who owns everything and makes everybody live on one tiny little square of land in, you know, like a square mile of land in thousands of square miles of area where the rest of it is all reserved for the king. You don't dare go there because it's his and he wants to have pristine, complete control over that. So you live on and farm on that square mile, and it doesn't matter if, you know, there's 100,000 people this year, 200,000 people next year, and there's just not enough food there that can be grown to feed all those people. I guess you'll just have to starve out.
You know, there's so many different extenuating circumstances, I guess you'd call it, to so many different things that are going on right now.
Well, this is the thing, man. No amount of legislation is going to fix any of that.
Yeah.
technology and natural law is what's going to end up changing that. It'll force that to change. Because it's like that thing that Raymond was talking about where they were like, you don't understand, we're the government, we'll change the law. Really, you're going to change the laws of physics?
Well, you said
because that's
something.
What they're talking about. They're not talking about your written laws. They were talking about the laws of physics literally do not allow for what you're insisting to happen.
You said something about technology a second ago, and technology, to the extent of what we're actually witnessing here on the internet, where you know people have opportunities to vet the mainstream media stories by double-checking and graphics technology to be able to see whether they're faking stuff or not. You know, that...
Well, and the ability to share freely information back and forth with each other in order to allow individuals to work as a larger group so that they can accomplish more than large corporations with their closed doors and, you know, hundreds or even thousands of employees and millions or even billions of dollars.
Yep. Well, the loophole to that would be that, you know, you got the terms like... I hate even saying the term because it was a made-up term by the doggone liberal Democrats, the alt-right deal, where basically, you know, alternative media, basically right-wing extremists is what they're trying to say, that, you know, you get their message and then you get the other side of the message out there. The internet, especially YouTube in general, is bombarded with opposing views, which is good to some extent. But if you're just an average Joe and you stumble onto the wrong page, and the way that this information is presented to you, it looks so real. I even fell for it myself one time. There was a doggone video I clicked on one time, and it was basically Congress just sitting there, and every time they would say something about, they were reading out some law that had just been passed. And every time they read this law out, they would say redacted at certain points. This redacted. I'm all, hold on a second, this ain't right. Why would you pass a law that some portions of this law are classified? Right? And so... I'm really getting concerned. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Right?
Thankfully you didn't run over your next door neighbor's house and decide that it's time to riot and loot and bust his window out trying to steal his TV over that.
So anyway, as I was trying to get a grip on what was going on here about this story, I happened to start scanning down through the comments, and people were like really mad because, you know, this is our government, and how could a law be redacted? It just got passed as law, but there's secret parts of this law that you can't know about. Everybody's supposed to know about law because, for one reason, they say ignorance is no excuse of the law. Just because you didn't know it was illegal, don't make it not illegal or whatever.
Right.
And so when something is supposedly secret in the law, and you're hearing these congressmen, senators, you know, reading this thing out, and it keeps on saying redacted in there. Well, I started reading down through the comments, and some people were just getting totally irate about it. They were ready to get the pitchforks out, like you mentioned. But when it come down to it, I ran across a couple comments that people had said something about, didn't you notice the onion in the bottom of the screen? Well, it turns out there's a news site out there that makes basically a joke of the mainstream media, and it's called the Onion News Network. And so they make these realistic-looking news stories, and basically they're just a spoof on the news. But whenever somebody who doesn't know any better, who's seen plenty of newscasts, it looks real, looks like a news set, looks like Congress or whatever, you know. And then they'll spread that on to their friends who didn't take the time to look down to see if there was that onion down there or not, to vet that information before they pass it on. Now they got a whole bunch of people riled up over the deal. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now every time I watch a news broadcast, and if it seems even remotely ridiculous, I'm looking all over for the onion. I'm reading the doggone description to see, and I go down, I check out the comments to see what people are saying. Because a lot of times if you check out the comments, you'll see that there people have come across opposing stories that are saying, no, this is a true, you need to check this reference source out there. And so the comment section could be your saving grace as far as not having egg on your face when the when you go to tell somebody about the story. Say, look, I checked this story out and I found that this isn't true. They took it all completely out of context, and here's the reference to the deal, so you'll know, and you can basically spread some good information that way. You see what I mean?
Right.
Some folks don't take the time to do that. And when they don't take the time to do that, they're not only cheating themselves, but they're, you know, making a mess out of the situation, because it's like running into a crowded theater and shouting fire. You know, mm-hmm. you get race riots going on, you get people out there trying to shoot cops or whatever, you know, all because they sit there and lied and said the cops were racist and hateful. You know, I've known a lot of cops. I don't trust cops, and I got my reasoning for that. But the thing about it is I know that not all of them are corrupt.
Right.
You know.
Well, and like I said, if you had statistics, you would know what the percentage was, so you would know whether it was likely that they're corrupt or not.
Yeah.
And most likely you're going to find in most instances where the story is inciting fear, anger, and aggression towards a specific group of people, the statistics probably would show that it's not really that often that those people are actually the way they're being portrayed. You know?
Yep. Well, the Knights of the Round Table, we've been around for a little bit. We've actually got, let's see, about 209 podcasts up. This will be 210 Knights of the Round Table. And we sat around, we talked about all kinds of subjects, every subject under the sun, and we try to do it honest and respectfully, and you know, put some good information out there. We actually post some, not just some funny, funny pictures that. Kind of, sometimes you gotta look and laugh in the face of adversity, or life will get you down. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we do the best that we can. We're just the average people out there, working on a shoestring budget with duct tape and bailing wire, just trying to hold it together, because we believe that there is a better way out there, and by putting this common sense out there. I got one picture on the Knights podcast page that says, this picture says it all, and says, you are the missing piece of the puzzle. You got a whole bunch of people standing in the circle, and you got one guy outside the circle. He's that missing piece of the puzzle. So I'm trying to give credibility to everyone, you know. As long as they're honest, and as long as their actions speak louder than their words, and they step up to the plate, and they try to help out the situation as opposed to hindering it, you know, I get really, really frustrated whenever I get somebody who is essentially so wigged out that they're a doomsdayer, more or less, and nothing you say is possible. Well, you know, they won't let us do this. They will block you. They will come and get you. They, you know, it's always they. There's a secret group out there that's called they, and they rule the world, and they have all the power, and they're going to stop us, and there's no way that we can succeed because they are too powerful, and so on down the line. When in reality, like that little video called The Dots or whatever, I can't even remember the name of that. I keep talking about it, but I can't remember the name of it. But it's essentially where there's a little tiny minority of dots that is ruling the masses, and they're all listening to them because of threats of fear or, you know, violence or whatever against them. And so they feel like they got to fall in line to keep society going and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, in the United States of America alone, there's over 300 million people in the United States, and only a small percentage of them would be in the top 1% that are actually the ones out there supposedly representing us. Well, you got, let's say, 290 million people stand up against what they know to be flat-out lies and corruption and hold their feet to the fire, then you get results. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Right.
And so, we're not powerless. And we've never been powerless. They aren't as powerful as the people out there who think the whole world is coming to an end believe. You know, sure, these guys are using our tax money to build bunkers and buy weapons of mass destruction and guns and ammunition and basically build up their power structure. You know, if the peasants build the castle for the king, and to make the king's chamber so protected, and he's got an army that stands outside and makes sure that there ain't nobody come up there to talk against him or anything like that, then of course the king's going to get to run amok. You see what I mean? If you can't even hold the king accountable for what he's saying, it's like that old deal about the emperor has no clothes. Everyone knew he was naked, but it took one little kid to point it out. You know? The emperor has no clothes. Until that little kid had the courage to say it, nobody was going to speak against the king. They weren't going to point out the obvious. The emperor's naked. And so essentially that little story had a moral to it. You know, if the emperor's lying to you, It needs to come to light. Everybody needs to know that the king that they're following is going to be honest, upfront, and, you know, his actions are going to speak louder than his words. That same thing could apply with any leader of any nation out there, any representative. That's what they took an oath to do. Am I wrong? They said the words in order to get in office. Yes.
Well, they say a lot of things to get in office that ain't true. And they say it knowing it's not true, so, you know.
Well, I know.
What's one more lie, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And then whenever they actually say all the fancy words, that's how Congressman Bongwater came about. Because you listen to all these politicians saying about what they're going to do when they get into office, and they're going to make everything, they're going to protect your Social Security and your rights and freedom and all this kind of stuff. But then when they get into office, once they're past the whole deal of you know, electing them, and they're in there for 2 to 4 years or whatever, now there's no more reason to, you know, even pay attention to your constituency. You already got the job. And they're not going to take it away from you for at least 2 years unless you do something really totally stupid. But,
or rather, you get caught doing something stupid.
Yeah. But Congressman Bongwater, he was like flat out telling you, elect me and I'll screw you on taxes. You know, at least he's honest about it. You know, at least you know where you stand whenever you get there. But, you know, folks got to do better research than what they've been doing. Folks got to really pay attention to what's going on these days. A long time ago, I did a video called Warning to the World. I believe that's the one. There was actually two videos. But one of them basically had to do with the switch from analog TV to digital TV. And there's a big reason behind that, for blatantly obvious reason. Green screen, blue screen technology. You could literally take anything and make somebody look like they're somewhere where they ain't, or, you know, some of the CGI graphics that they do these days, if you're not really paying attention, it comes across the doggone screen as reality. Oh, wow, you know, the White House just got nuked or something like that. Maybe the White House didn't even get touched. You see what I mean?
Right.
And you find somebody that lives in Washington. Hey, man, is this true? Did this really happen? You know, can you get some video or something? Can you verify this? You know? It's crazy. It's crazy that you'd even have to try to question it. But, you know, like I said, Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if you ain't being vigilant, if you ain't paying attention or verifying the news that comes across there. I still can't remember what Raymond said about he who reads the news is informed or ill-informed or whatever. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. I'll be back in a moment.
Alright. So anyway, folks, there's a lot going on in this world. We talk about it all the time. The Knights of the Round Table, you know, we try to get people to listen to some common sense in hopes to motivate individuals to join us here at the table for one. You know, sometimes you got to sit down and discuss things. It's a round table, you know. You bring people together with good ideas, and we figure out a way to put those good ideas in action and get people to fix in this world. This world's a mess, but I still believe it can be fixed. I don't believe all hope is lost. You know, there's an old saying out there, it isn't over till the fat lady sings, and that might not be politically correct. You ain't supposed to talk about people's weight like that, but basically in the opera community, there's a, you know, that's where that phrase came from, when the show isn't over until the fat lady sings or whatever. But until it's over, it ain't over. And until this world finally meets its doom, we still have the option to try to fix it. We still have the options to try to work together and, you know, accomplish, you know, something, make this world a better place. You know, I believe in that wholeheartedly. And I'm not one that, I'm not one to come up and tell, you know, that all hope is lost and it can't be done, because I believe it can be done. I believe if the majority of the people of this world wanted this world to be a good world, that we could make it a good world. We don't have to buy from people who, you know, buy from slavery, or we don't have to buy from people who we know are abusing others. We don't have to support the system that is the beast that's eating us alive. You know, we choose to where we go to spend our dollars at. You know, if we're going to be under the system of money that we all know is skewed towards the banker and corrupt, that people would literally take another individual's life for a dollar bill. You know, they talk about a cashless society probably being a better way to go. Cashless society isn't going to be any safer than paper money society. Because if you got a card with credits on it, or, you know, a chip with credits on it or whatever, there's always going to be some criminal going to find some way to maneuver your credits over to his account. His or her account. You know, it's a shame that we have to worry about people stealing from people. It's a shame that we have to worry about violence and, you know, people being abused or people doing without. I've watched many of episodes of different network TV shows that, you know, show all kinds of things, from apocalyptic deals, how people react under certain circumstances. Like I always mentioned, the Jericho series. If you haven't never seen that, go see that. See if you really want to live in a world that was like that, where you couldn't travel freely like you'd think you could, like you actually can now, without having to worry about some gang of roaming marauders, or whatever you want to call them, that are going to hurt you and steal what you got, you know, willing to take your life for whatever supplies you might have on you. I don't want to live in a world like that. And I don't want to live in a world where the government is allowed to be so corrupt that, you know, we got wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famines and pestilence and all that kind of craziness going on. You know, the Good Book talks about these days. And a lot of people hate the Good Book. But nonetheless, it talks about these days, just like Paul Harvey mentioned it back in 1965 about these days. So regardless of where that information come from, seeing is believing, and when you're looking at it, when the evil's staring you in the face, you gotta make a choice. Which side of the fence you gonna stand on? You gonna stand on the good side and help each other out and try to fix this mess before it gets so far out of hand that there ain't no fixing it? And I've heard it. We've heard some of my people in my own circle saying, oh, well, it's beyond repair now. There ain't nothing we can do about it. Well, folks, we're still having the conversation right now. They haven't come rounded me up yet. I'm not in no FEMA camp yet. I'm not dead. They haven't killed me yet. So I feel like as long as I still got a voice, I still got a chance. Because the numbers are in our favor. The average Joe outnumber the global elitist of the world by the millions. And if you actually look at the old totality of all the numbers of people in this world, 9 billion people on this planet, 9 billion people on this planet allowing a small minority of people to abuse them is ridiculousness in my view. So, how do we fix it? How do we get the ball rolling towards fixing it? Well, I would submit to you, we already got the ball rolling. We got the alternative media. We still have access to the internet. We're talking to one another. We're sharing information. We're doing what it takes to try to at least put the common sense on the table. And, you know, some people come pick that common sense up and run with it. Some people will join us at the table. And some people will look at the table and say, ah, that's too much. I ain't messing with it. It's just part of the game, I guess. But we don't have to give up. We don't have to give up until we can no longer broadcast here on ShazizRadio.com. We don't have to give up until the super chat room falls apart. We don't have to give up till the power goes out. We don't have to give up on the dream. We don't have to stop talking about it. We don't have to stop trying to motivate people to join us in our quest to make the world a better place. We don't have to give up. We're going to be up against a lot of naysayers. A lot of people will come in and tell you, well, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. A rock coming from space is out of your control. But living in a society where everyone out there is being lied to and propagandized and cheated and stolen from and starving to death or homeless, that's not beyond your control. You can invite somebody to come stay in your guest room if they don't have a place to live. You can go down to the grocery store with whatever few pennies you can scrape up and buy them something to nibble on if they're hungry. You can find some water to give them. You can give them some old clothes out of your closet. So we're not beat yet. We just got to take it upon ourselves to try to do as much with what little we got. That's simple common sense. And if we could spread that little seed out there to the world and have people take that to heart and do that themselves, there's a lot of good people in this world. There are a lot of people who give to charities on a regular basis. There's a lot of people who use their charity on a personal basis whereby they go around and they help individuals out personally. You see somebody broke down on the side of the road, you stop trying to help them out, and you know, you see somebody in need, you try to guide them towards help. That's the true heart of humanity. I fully believe that. I believe that the majority of all the people in this world aren't selfish. You know, I believe that they will help people out. One of the best meals that I ever had came from one of the poorest families I ever met. They were willing to share what they had with me. And the way that they delivered it and the companionship that they offered while I had that meal with them in a tiny little house in Porterville, California. This house was... It was a tiny house. Two rooms in this entire house. It was raining outside. A friend of mine, we were broke down, was out of gas. And they invited us in out of the rain. We sat down at the table, and we had some fried potatoes with this family. And it was amazing. So, I know that charity can come from the top, and it can come from the bottom as well. charity goes in all different directions. Good-hearted souls all over this world that are willing to step outside their own comfort zone to try to make your life a little bit better. 9 billion people on this planet. If they all had that same idea to one day just get up and make this world a better place, some folks would pick up a broom and some folks would pick up a shovel and some hammers and some nails. They'd be building each other homes, they'd be cleaning up each other's yards, they'd be helping to tidy up the streams and the parks. There are people out there to do it. I've actually seen people that walk through parks and they'll pick up trash in that park. Other people look at them like they're nuts. Well, there's that trash lady again. She's always picking up trash. Well, that's probably one of the nicest ladies I ever met. Because she actually looks out there at that park and she wants it to be nice for everybody else. So she goes over there and takes her time to pick up the trash that other people decided just to throw in the trash instead of walking a few extra feet and throwing it in the can themselves. This is a wonderful world if you give it a chance. But right now, we're traveling down a dangerous path. That's why I play this next song that I'm going to play while I take a quick coffee break. Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. Then, this song from Black Sabbath. I don't know what you think about the band Black Sabbath, but if you actually listen to the words, there's one particular point in there that talks about the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It talks about a battle between good and evil. And I think that a lot of these musicians that wrote these songs, if you actually go back and listen to the lyrics of a lot of the songs, all the way back from 50s through the 60s and all the way up into the modern day, you see that some of these musicians were crying out for some common sense. Most of them believed in peace. Most of them didn't believe in war. That same band, Black Sabbath, there's a song called War Pigs. It talks about the generals gathered in the masses, you know, basically sending all the average Joe out to fight their wars. How ironic that life imitates art, right? Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. I'm going to go on a quick music break. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
the Turtle. Always working to save the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Hope you enjoyed that little music break. You know, there are some folks out there that say that talking never gets nothing done, that all we do is sit around and we talk, and we don't get nothing done. You know, there's a lot of aggravating terminology that comes out sometimes from my inner circle. People just get frustrated because it seems like all we ever do is talk about things. We never get nothing accomplished. The point I'm trying to get to is that you got a lot of sports teams out there that have a coach. And every day before the game, the coach gets up there and, you know, he, like, gets them all riled up and builds up their confidence and saying, you can do this thing. You can get out there and you can win. Well, I think that's just as important as the actual player on the field. You can be that coach, you can be that person that's out there trying to motivate people and bringing them up, you know. Now, I can't stand in the middle of the battlefield out there and do everybody's work for them.
You saying coach Shazuz?
Yeah. Motivational speaker, maybe. But it doesn't stop there.
Church.
I posted a link over in the chat room. I posted it the day before yesterday, and I guess I posted it again today. But it's a call out for all the researchers having to do with the alternative energy community, and it's a plan. It's a plan to get the brilliant individuals to the table and to literally get a project put together and get something accomplished. I'm only one small piece of the puzzle. I'm nobody important in the grand scheme of things outside the fact that, you know, of that 5,000 piece puzzle or whatever, I'm that one little corner piece that you've been looking for, maybe got swept under the couch or something. And I feel that if we could bring all the pieces of the puzzle, all these brilliant individuals with their talents and skills together, that we could actually really seriously accomplish something. Because I recognize the true power of human potential. There's 9 billion people on this planet. Out of them 9 billion people, there's probably a large percentage of them who are really amazing artists. There's people out there who can sing. There's people out there who can cook. They can build things. They're good with their hands. Some people are just good with their words. Some people are good at formulating words that get people motivated. You know, I think back about some of the different videos out there and some of the actors that, like Braveheart, that was a good one. There was a really good speech inside that movie. Got the people motivated to go out there and do battle. Well, maybe they didn't fare so well when they got to the other side, but at least he motivated them to give it a shot, as opposed to just standing around and allowing oppression to run amok. When the king's corrupt, it's time to bring the people out and move the king on down the road. Ship him out of town on a rail, like they say. You know, if your king ain't your brother, and he ain't your friend, and he ain't your servant, and he ain't your representation, then he ain't no king. There ain't no king out there worthy of being called king who isn't willing to sacrifice something in order to make sure that you, the citizen, or whatever you want to call yourself, you, the people, are, you know, taking care of, your needs are met. There's a lot of different things out there, like communism and stuff like that, where, you know, in the explanation of what communism is, it might sound like it was really good. But then it's all depending on who is the one who's going to be making the rules, who's the one in charge, and does the king live in a better place than the peasants? And why would there even be a classification such as peasants? You know? why aren't we all equal like we are sitting around the round table? You know, that's the whole idea of the round table. You ain't got nobody sitting at the head of that table. There ain't no no king. There ain't no... no one's better than the other. If you understand what I'm trying to say. Each and every one of us out here, including you, listening in, are one of those pieces of the puzzle. And without you, we can't make the big picture happen. You know, you can, if you take one of those, or two of those, or maybe three, or even four, or 20 of them away, that puzzle that was meant to be a really beautiful picture when it was all put together, it ain't never going to be a big picture. It ain't never going to be the puzzle. You ain't never going to see the picture. You'll see portions of it. You'll see what could have been, but you'll never see the fulfillment of it. And that's why I put together the plan for the alternative energy community. Want to give it a shot? What do I got to lose? What does the world have to lose to give it a shot? Put a small survey together and ask a few simple questions and give them a forum where they could send me thoughts on the matter and decide whether they want to be part of it or not, so we can put together a list to see, you know, where we can take this thing. And I picked the simplest project that I could possibly imagine to basically get something done, to be able to prove to not just myself, but each of the people involved in the deal, to show them what could be accomplished if we put our hands together and we work together. Our tools, our minds. That's what we do here on ShazizRadio.com. That's the whole plan. And my thanks go out to all the networks that rebroadcast us. You know, without you, we'd be lesser people paying attention to what we get to say. My thanks go out to all the people listening to the show. You know? And my thanks go out to all the people that share the podcast. Now, this ain't about getting famous. It ain't about getting rich. There's no fame and fortune out of this deal. I look up on the wall and I see some pictures of my grandchildren, you know? And it's cool being a grandpa. You know, I got little ones that look up at me and they think old grandpa's cool, man. I want to see them live in a world that isn't full of chaos.
I was going to say, it's also a scary prospect being a grandfather or a grandmother, knowing what your children might be facing, and your grandchildren too, and their children.
That is the truth. To think that they would live in a world that is worse than what we got to contend with now. I also think about those children over in war zones that they were born into chaos. They didn't deserve that. They never done nothing to have to live that way. Why wouldn't we want to not do that to those folks? Why wouldn't we want to lift them up instead of knocking them down? Why is the bad guy always got to run up in the crowd of innocent people in order to protect himself? You know? They say the world ain't fair. And maybe it ain't. But maybe that's one of the things we really seriously need to strive towards, is making it fair. You know, before we drop bombs on foreign nations, we need to really think about the long-term ramifications of it. I mentioned this story several times on here about a couple little Palestinian girls that were talking to a reporter. And the reporter said, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And the little children said, "No, we don't want peace with Israel. We hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy." Now you got to think that on the other side of the fence, because of things that came from that side of the fence, that there's probably a boy and a girl over there that feel the same way about Palestine. Now, for whatever your political views or whatever side of the fence you stand on, just think about that for a second. For every bomb dropped, there's a future terrorist born. For every little child that loses their parents, there's another person born into the world that basically is going to be indoctrinated into believing that one side or the other is at fault, and revenge must be taken. It's a never-ending chain of abuse. You know, there's a child somewhere in this world that's beat up by their dad or their mom on a daily basis, and when they grew up, they look back at their life and they said, you know what? I'm going to break these chains. I'm not going to be abusive to my children. I'm going to be good to my children. I'm going to make sure my children know that I love them. And I'm going to raise them up to enjoy life. Those were the strong individuals that, even though they went through a hard road in their life, they learned from that deal and they turned around and they made better of their children's lives and they broke those chains of oppression for their future generations. So, I'm saying that at some point in time, humanity's got to come to that kind of deal. We're going to have to come to the realization that unless we're strong for each other and with each other, that we're going to keep repeating the same doggone mistakes over and over. We need to break the chains of oppression. We need to hold the leaders of the world accountable. If we choose to have leaders in this world, we need to hold them accountable for their actions. After all, they are doing it in your name. They're doing it on your behalf because you're part of a group or a country and they're your elected officials. When they say that America is a terrible place and Americans are terrible people, I feel offended by it because I'm an American. I don't want to have wars with people. I'm not trying to go out there and bomb people. And to some extent, I don't have no control what my leaders are doing because I'm a voice shouting out here by myself. We need to raise all the other voices along with me. We need to find the folks that agree with what I'm saying is. Y'all need to stop doing what you're doing up there in Congress and the Senate and the White House because we the people disagree. You see what I'm trying to say here, guys? We got to hold our elected officials accountable because we're kind of like guilt by association just because we're part of the country, just because the country done things wrong. You know, you go back in history, you look at all the atrocities done to the natives of this country and to other people that came from other countries and so on down the line, a lot of the terrible things that history has to show. And I wasn't there. I wasn't part of it. I didn't commit the atrocities. And had I have been there, under the same heart and mindset that I am now, I would have been one of the ones who stood against it. I'd have been part of the Underground Railroad. I'd have been part of the rebels, the ones that are trying to protect people. And I honestly believe that the majority of the people here in the United States would have been on my side. Because nobody wants to see somebody else hurting. You know, with the exception of that bad guy who's been witnessed doing a lot of terrible deeds to everybody and is just a rotten individual, you know, some guys, gals might take a little bit of joy of seeing him get retribution, throwed off in the jailhouse, or maybe even to the extreme and executed. Some people are just that doggone rotten. But I think for the most part, the majority of all the average Joes and Janes out there, majority of the 9 billion people on this planet feel the same way that I do. We got to stop playing the game with the little dots in that movie there that explains government. We got to stop allowing them to do what they do to our brothers and sisters around the world. And in order to finally beat the system, we got to have more plans. We got to get more people on board to making more plans. This plan that I got over here for the alternative energy community could resolve a lot. Could make it so that the average Joe could afford to have energy needs met. I believe in it. I know that scientifically it's possible. I know that physically it's possible. But like I said, folks, I am just one piece of that entire puzzle. Without you, I can get close, but I ain't gonna get it done. And that's why you spreading these podcasts and getting other people to hear these words, that's all I ask. Just have them come here and hear us out. Have them come here and listen to the common sense, and if they like the common sense, to share that common sense with somebody else. Other people start their own round tables, or they'll join theirs. Maybe they'll slide their round table over right up next to the side of ours, and we'll have an even larger table. That's what it's all about. The mainstream media out there has a lot of explaining to do. They spent years and years propagandizing and lying to people, creating a ruckus, so to speak. They spend a lot of time trying to further agendas. And so they are responsible for a lot of death and destruction. There's a lot of blood on the mainstream media's hands. A lot of racial tension and riots that occurred and violence that occurred because of things that people had heard on the mainstream media. And even the alternative media. Nobody here is totally without fault. But here on Shazia's Radio, we're going to talk to you about common sense. Don't go down and burn down your own community trying to protest. Get to the root of the problem. If you're going to protest anyone, protest the ones lying to you. Hold your feet to the fire. Stand out there on the front lawn of all the news stations and say, we're not going to watch your shows anymore or buy from any of your advertisers until you get your act together. What do you think of that, Thomas?
I don't know. I want to see something happen, but not sure what direction to go. I mean, it's all pretty confusing, so...
Well, yeah, that's a...
It's also very, very wearying. Makes it hard to even have the energy to do anything about it, which I'm sure is part of the game plan.
Yeah, it's kind of like you beat somebody down long enough that you get their... You take away their drive or whatever. I mentioned a story a long time ago,
man.
About a racehorse. Really fast, young, healthy racehorse. I mean... He'd been put in this cage for so long, and all he ever knew was that doggone cage. Had he been out during his prime, he could outrun any horse out there on the planet. He was that good. He was healthy, he was fast and beautiful, but he'd been held back for so long that finally one day when they opened up the gate because they felt sorry for him, he didn't even want to leave. Never stepped outside the gate. And I'm afraid that that's what's happening to a lot of people out there. I'm afraid that a lot of people are standing at the gate. The gate's open now. And all you got to do is step through to freedom. But a lot of folks, it's like it's safer inside the Matrix than it is to go outside into the real world. And some folks don't even know how to take care of themselves in the real world. I know... Teenagers and kids that just got old enough, or, you know, 25-year-old people that can't even change a tire on a car. They own a vehicle. They have the tire tools that come with the vehicle. And if they get a flat tire, they got to call for help because they don't even have the knowledge or the skills to safely remove a flat tire and put on a spare tire. That's sad when society's got to that point. But you got to look at the educational system out there when you see that people aren't being taught a lot of different life skills and real science and stuff like that. Or, you know, they want to make sure that everybody gets a trophy and to bring them through. And, you know, some folks basically squeak through the system, just barely passing, or if they were underneath where they shouldn't have passed, that they want to make sure that no child is left behind and they bring them up there. Well, they're cheating that child. You go to get a job, and you can't even fill out the application. You have to use a loophole in the law where the doggone person who owns the store has to read the application to you and fill it out for you and help you that way in order for you to get a job. Now you think if that's a really educated person and they really want their business to succeed, you think they want to hire the person that can't even read the directions to the job that needs to be done? And so you're cheating that person. You're cheating them by trying to pamper them. You're cheating them by trying to make things, you know, fair for everybody.
Well, part of that too, though, is due to shaming.
Yeah?
You stop shaming people for taking longer to figure something out. People won't be as concerned about staying in school until they do have the life skills they need in order to be productive, so that they're not becoming a drain. Instead, they're actually becoming a boon. I mean, you think about it, there are plenty of people that had to be or were held back that are responsible for some of the biggest accomplishments our world has ever had.
Yeah.
A lot of that holding back is just because they think differently than other people, and it's hard to figure out how to teach them. And it's hard for them to figure out how to learn with their you know, completely different methods of understanding and thinking. But once they do, then look out. You got a Stephen Hawking, Albert Einstein, a Tesla.
There's some teachers out there who are really good at adapting to other people's needs. I understand that nobody learns the same way, that some people are more hands-on and they can adapt to that. And there's some out there that just go by the book.
Right.
The way the book's set up nowadays, everybody gets a trophy.
Hey, that goes to that whole everyone gets a trophy, though, man. Every teacher deserves the exact same treatment, regardless of whether they're actually better at teaching or not.
Yeah.
They all deserve to have a job if they went through the hassle to get their diploma and their degree. You know, let's give them a job anyway, even though they're a terrible teacher, you know?
What happens if you had a society with the most qualified teachers? You know, you'd actually have some kids
well,
who would learn.
Well, that goes back to that that statement. If you hate how much education costs, imagine how much stupid costs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we kind of joked about it at one point, but the fact that you got to put warning labels on certain products so that people don't do stupid things with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, now a lot of that has to do with companies not wanting to get sued because somebody misuses their product, but the more... Think about this for a second. In the 1950s and early 60s, they had some toys that they would give to the kids that some of them actually plugged into the wall. And little stoves that you could actually cook on. Literally, this is a toy. Those steam engines and stuff like that, things that, you know, if something goes awry, kid could get electrocuted or burnt. They had toys like that. And even up into the 70s, they had what was called a little easy bake oven. That had a light bulb in it. The thing's made out of plastic.
The recipes were formulated to cook at those low temperatures.
Yeah. But the fact is, if you look at the old toys and the modern day toys, we've gotten to the point where, to some extent, they're safer, unless they're coming from China and they're covered in lead paint, you know. But mostly, they're cheaply made. Easily break away, but there was a difference in the way that you know, people thought about things back in the day. I saw a little stove. I know it's probably made in the late 50s, maybe early 60s, but I think late 50s. It's a little electric stove, and it had one of those little two wire cords on there. You plug in the wall, no ground plane on it or whatever, and so if something went wrong in there, the little kid would, you know, potentially get electrocuted or burnt, you know, because it heats up. It's got an actual element inside there. And, I mean, what kind of person would give their kid a toy like that? Then I got to back up and say, wait a second, what kind of irresponsible person? You see what I mean?
Right. he can't spend, in other words, if you're going to give it to a child that can't handle it on their own, then you shouldn't be letting them use it unsupervised. Instead, it's a teaching aid.
Yeah.
But who wants to spend that much time with their kids when they're being beat down all day long by the system?
Yeah.
They're ready to come home and just, you know, unwind and let their brain shut off, you know?
Yeah.
Shut off and tune out, man.
There was a Christmas special about a little kid that wanted a Red Ryder BB gun, and they kept on, y'all put your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out.
He ended up getting ricocheted in the eye and all that, but I don't know. It's going to have to be, basically, if you're a parent, you have to use common sense on things. You know, if you're going to get your kid a Red Ryder BB gun, at least show them the possibility. This is what could happen if you're not careful. So, you know, I'm
The problem with that, though, is that it doesn't take common sense to become a parent. In fact, a lot of people become parents prematurely due to lack of common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
what do you do about that?
And,
without invading somebody else's rights.
Raising the children didn't come with no owner's manual.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and one of the things I would say...
An owner's manual on his body at that. And where can I, you know, go back for a manufacturer warranty dispute?
Yeah.
You know?
There was no how-to book, how to raise your kid, handed out with you when you had a kid, but... One of the things that sometimes get overlooked, and sometimes probably wouldn't even be a good deal either, anyways, is you got a lot of elderly out there who had been down roads before. And you can pretty much tell by the way that their kids act, whether or not you want your kids to act like. You ask them, hey, how'd you get your kids to act like that? Oh, I beat the tarnation out of them. Every time they got them out, I smacked them. Right? Well, you don't really want to raise your kid up smacking the crud out of them just so you can get them to act like it. You probably want to try to, you know...
Well, that's the other thing, too, man. People seem to keep missing the point that people who abuse their kids by beating them constantly, that's just the simpler, easier-to-get-to solution to get them to leave them alone so they can be lazy and do whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah.
They beat them enough, they'll leave them alone so they can go ahead and continue being a child instead of being the adult in the situation. Anybody who basically uses corporal punishment that is not lazy isn't going to overuse it, abuse it, or use it in an improper situation. Instead, it'll only be used when absolutely necessary, and you almost never hear about it.
Well,
you know, it'll be a rare instance that it actually occurs. The rest of the time, they'll be able to talk through everything with their kids, and their kids will, you know, choose to go the right route in order to avoid consequences that aren't violent. Like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to buy that thing for you because you're not going to handle it responsibly because you've shown me you're not being responsible. When you show me you can be responsible, then I'll consider investing on something that, you know, could potentially be misused.
Yep. And I would submit that probably the best case scenario would be for you personally to act the way that you want your children to act.
Yep.
You know? We talk about lead by example all the time here, you know. If you want the world to change, you got to lead by example. You know, if your neighborhood, if you're sitting around complaining about how trashy the world is and your own backyard's trash, you know, the Chinese proverb says, he who lives in glass house should not throw stone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's true. If you live in a glass house and you're throwing rocks at other people because of what their house looks like, you're liable to shatter your own house. Well, that's common sense. You don't have to stick your finger in fire 10 or 15, 20 times to find out that it hurt the first time. Simple as that. But maybe common sense isn't so common these days, Thomas.
How many people are miswired, too, where, like, they stick the finger in the fire and it actually tickles?
Man, that would be a scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
Be dancing around.
Well, there are people that when you say a word, they see a color or smell, like they can't control it. A sound makes them smell something, you know. A color makes them you know, feel something, like the texture on their skin. Their skin reacts and they feel something, even though they're just looking at it.
Yeah, I got a really visual mind. You tell me a story, I can watch it like a movie.
Right, but imagine that process being miswired.
Yeah.
So that it's wired directly to your nervous system in your body. So that instead of you visualizing it in your head, and like say, you imagining what it would feel like, it actually does feel that way. But it doesn't feel right. Instead, you see an image of like prickly points, and instead of it looking or your skin feeling like there's prickles pressed up against it, it feels like a soft pillow is pushed up against you.
Well, and on that particular topic, science out there, if science was used properly, we could actually track down why these things were occurring the way they were occurring. What caused this particular genetic defect, or ways that we could actually fix it. I'm not afraid of technology.
And why would you only fix it too? What if you could induce that while doing, say, drilling a tooth, where you don't want them to feel the pain for that?
Yeah.
So temporarily being able to basically make them, feel like somebody's just basically sticking a pillow in their mouth when actually you're literally drilling down into a nerve.
Yeah, well, see, that's what some of the future advancement in technology might be able to do. You should literally shut off pain sensors so that you can, heal somebody.
Right. Problem is, how do you stop somebody from abusing that, especially if it can be done with any distance?
Well, that's the truth, but, the very first murder, according to what I understand, was done with a rock. And so you can't blame the rock for it. You can't blame the fact that somebody abused the rock.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. How do you protect yourself against something like that? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
you can get bulletproof armor if you're worried about being shot because you live in a bad neighborhood where lots of people have guns and periodically start shooting at each other over stupid nonsense. You can also move away.
Yeah.
What do you do about the guy who's next door that has a sound generator that can make you go into a coma so he can come over and take nude pictures of you while you're asleep?
That's a disturbing thought.
Yeah. Well, and that's just, a very, very mild instance of something like that could be abused. I'm sure there are other people with much better imaginations than me on that could come up with a lot worse things that they have to guard themselves against that guy could do. Just with that one particular piece of technology.
Well, I guess we as society...
Gotta hold their feet to the fire on that too, man.
Yeah.
And, be more vigilant.
I guess we as society have to decide how far we want to allow technology to go, or, where to go with it when we get there, or,
Well, or just what to do to safeguard against it too,
Yeah.
It came down to that thing I was talking about where you get to choose what your privacy issues personally are in your private place, and if somebody comes over, they have no choice over what those privacy issues are. They come into your house, you can demand that they leave all, cameras behind, or you can have cameras in there, and, if they come in, they're under the understanding that they're being watched. They're dumping it to the internet or whatever. You go out in public, that's a public place. Nobody has control over that individually. Everybody that's out there has control over it. Only when you're alone, in your own domain, you actually have complete privacy.
Yeah.
Unless you're a public official, then your life is public until you're no longer a public official.
Yeah.
Stop trying to force people to give up their privacy.
The average Joe out there is on so many cameras on a daily basis that they don't even realize they're even being watched.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of creepy, man.
And a lot of them don't care either.
Yeah, I don't think it's for their own good, their own safety. And there's where the vigilance comes in. If you say, okay, it's all right for you to put cameras up there to watch for accidents and bad guys and, you just got to understand, it won't catch you in your worst possible time. Maybe you got an itch somewhere and you scratch or whatever. You end up on YouTube.
That doesn't matter. What does matter is that if the information comes from that, you never get to see it.
Yeah.
That'd be like basically Google having cameras everywhere and posting video and monetizing and charging for it, but you never get a nickel of it. You don't even know they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, there's a really good example about Google. If you go on Google Earth, you'll notice that Google is really careful about, if you go on Google Earth, you won't see any people in the pictures. How they do it, I'm not exactly sure, you know, piecemealing this thing together, but if you go scanning down through, like, streets, you can see the front of people's houses, but you can't see no people. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever seen any people on Google Earth. But the fact is, you can Google any address, and you can zoom in from an aerial view and actually get down to a street-level view. So that means that somebody, a whole bunch of somebodies, is out taking pictures constantly of everything.
And they just decide which ones to use.
Yeah.
Or which portions of each of them to use, like just laying over an image where somebody's standing of it, from an image that the person's not there, from the exact same position. Or close enough you can't tell that it wasn't from the same position.
Yep. So, you know, maybe I don't want airplanes and drones flying over the top of my property and looking down at my family or whatever, you know. Maybe I just need to get out there and build me a big old phosphorescent sign that says Google sucks when they fly over, and eventually that'll be on the map, you know. That's what I need to do. I need to get
actually,
out there.
Actually, why don't you use that to your advantage, man? Put a big sign up there that says ShazizRadio.com.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. I'd like to get out there and get on that one. They got some really good phosphorescent paints out there these days. I could get neon colors or something. Because, you know, you go on Google, they update it every so often, you know. You could see before my pond was dug, and now you can see my pond is there. So I know they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either way, you know, it's just kind of creepy thinking that, you know, especially when it starts to get into law enforcement, where law enforcement begin to patrol by flying drones over your house, you know, how far can that go? You know, there's George Orwell's 1984 book, right? Is that the right name there?
I've mentioned it a number of times, and people don't get what the reference is because they've never read the book and don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Nor seen the movie.
Folks, you need to take a peek at that movie, and you need to take a look long, good long read at that book, and try to match it with what you see in society today. You might look twice. You know, I talked about this one time. Every time I go to the store, because I know that it's security cameras all the way through the entire store. Even though I know I'm not personally a shoplifter, I don't want the embarrassment of having somebody coming up thinking I'm a shoplifter because I just stuck my cell phone back in my pocket, you know? And so I will deliberately position myself in front of the camera so that they can see I'm reaching in my pocket, I pull out my cell phone, I get on there, I make my call and find out where my wife is in the store, and then I close my cell phone and I put my face in front of the camera again. I stick my phone back in my pocket so that if anything happens, you know, there's a recorded record of I wasn't stealing nothing. I just put my phone in my own pocket. But I always try to keep my hands in plain view at all times. It's like I don't want the potential for anybody to think that I'm doing anything wrong. And it stinks that you have to live like that. You know? You see what I'm saying here? It's frustrating.
Well, in that instance, you're using the cameras to your advantage.
Yeah.
If they weren't there, there's nothing you could do to keep somebody from thinking you've taken off with something. They see a lump in your pocket that they didn't see when you came in because they weren't paying attention. Or you shifted something in your pocket that's turned upward so it's pointed out. Instead of laying flat against you, now all of a sudden, you're a suspect. We gotta look. You know?
Yeah, to some extent. I guess one could argue that it's a benefit for me that those cameras are there, but then at another extent for...
Well, the thing is, though, that's in a store. They are in control of that, not you.
Sure it is.
If they came to your house and brought cameras to put in your house, that is where I see that their rights have now ran right over top of your rights.
Well, you're right.
Or your property or anywhere else. I mean, anything you don't control... You decide whether there are cameras there and who gets to see the feed and whatnot versus, you know, them getting to control their property. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what my point was that, you know, even though I know I'm not doing nothing wrong, it makes you feel uncomfortable to know that somebody could potentially misconstrue something that they saw on a camera, you know, at a different angle. All they saw was me reaching my pocket, you know? And so I can't even pick up my cell phone in the store, you know, as a customer, you know, I come in there and, you know, I'm not on my honesty merit because I got somebody watching me, and if I'm not facing the camera when I put my hand in my pocket, well, next thing you know, security's over there asking me, well, what'd you just stick in your pocket? Well, go watch your camera. I put my body next to the camera so you could see that I was getting my cell phone out, that I wasn't stealing from you. You see my point of view on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, it's their business. They want to secure their business because there's been a lot of people stealing from them, and shoplifting costs not just the owner of the company, but
No. It doesn't cost the shop the owner of the company. It costs you, the buyer, the taxpayer. No matter what, it will always be your burden to cover their losses. Always, you know?
Yeah. Well,
those cameras are supposed to be saving you expenses, but you know what? When they decide they want more money, they're just going to jack the prices up anyway, and the heck with you.
Yeah, initially it costs... Well,
there's a skit from a long time ago where this lady is pretending to be a operator for the phone company, said, oh... Well, I understand. We may be the only phone company in town, but we're sure to screw everybody.
Yeah. Well, initially it costs the company, but they just pass that cost on to you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. They write it off on taxes, or they raise the price, or they do both.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, we had a lot of thefts, so we had to raise the price. Well, what about the tax money you managed to use to restock your shelves? So basically, you're charging me more for something you got for free. You know.
Yep. Well, like I said, you know, it all comes down to common sense. This world that we live in is just, man, I'll tell you what. I want to see this a better place. And I know.
I don't want to know what. I want to know who.
Huh? I want to see the world a better place. And I know what we're up against. I know it's a tall order to bring about what it is that I'm talking about. But I still believe that it is possible. And if we could just get certain little things resolved, I believe that we can come together and do things to make this world a better place. As it stands right now, if you choose to be passive and you don't say anything when it's time to say something, then you live in the world that you live in today. I think that...
Yeah, almost sounds like you said that phrase, if you see something, say something.
Well, I'm talking about government-wise. Of course, if you see something with a criminal getting ready to kill somebody, you need to say something. But I'm talking about... Yeah. It's not just see something, say something on a citizen. It's see something, say something on the government. Especially right. The government, because they're the ones in control of the guns. Right?
Exactly.
They're the ones in control of the army.
One pen stroke can do more damage than, you know, 10 or 20 or even 100 people with private citizens with guns. Because
yep.
That one pen stroke from the president could literally start an entire war.
That's
dropping
right.
Bombs, like nuclear bombs and whatnot, on people.
That's right, and it's your kids that are going to be going to war. It ain't the leaders. Looks like Muddy's in. He might want in. You want to throw him in the conversation?
No, I ain't going to throw him in the conversation. I just asked him if he wants in. He says yes, I'll add him. But if he don't say yes, I ain't going to just dump him in like that,
just,
man.
You just need to force him
in. He might be
in.
Busy.
You just need to drag him in against his will.
Kicking and screaming, huh?
Yeah.
That's why you ain't got no friends.
That's right. King Shaziz is terrible. They don't call me terrible for nothing, man.
Terrible? That's horrible. King says is the jerk.
Now, see,
we ain't got time for your kind.
In any other kingdom, you'd be heading off to the guillotine right now, man. You know? But mine, this liberal kingdom of mine, you all get to say what you want to say. King says is the terrible. I rule with an iron fist, man. I'm ruthless.
They're toothless, so we know that.
See? Like Rodney Dangerfield, I ain't getting no respect.
And now you're in trouble. He said, sure.
All right, well, throw him in there.
Under the bus he goes.
Under the bus. So anyway, basically we started off this show talking about the mainstream media and the way that they put fake news out there, and then they turn around and say the alternative media is fake news. Well, if you're out there and you're putting any kind of fake news or propaganda out there, you just need to stop. Because just like going in a doggone theater shouting fire, you are, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, what to say.
You're responsible for starting a riot, so you should have to actually own up to that.
That's right. So as far as the fairness doctrine and, you know, FCC and keeping people honest, it's going to be up to the people to keep people honest in order so your First Amendment doesn't get,
trampled on.
So you need to be the one that holds the rules for which TV stations you watch. If you watch them and you know they're lying to you, but yeah, you still watch them, or even if you watch them and you don't know they're lying to them, but you're not betting the information or verifying the facts and you're passing it on, then you're part of the propaganda machine. You know, even directly or indirectly, you're part of the propaganda machine when you basically support these media outlets that do this.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a why I never a moment there.
That's right. So how you doing there, buddy? Muddy mud man.
Good morning.
So, how's life treating you on your side of the world? Yeah, he said prove it's good morning.
Let's see, we got 30 minutes left.
Yeah.
Too short a time, but doing okay.
All right, good. All right, so anyway, we got to be the ones to hold the medias and the governments accountable by, you know, paying attention to what they're doing, verifying the information. You know, we don't want to leave it up to, you know, the Supreme Court said that the fairness doctrine was essentially unconstitutional. Well, anytime you got the government saying what is truth and what is fiction, then you have a chance of abuse of that system. So you don't want that. All right, but there needs to be some sort of hold you accountable doctrine, such as not going into a crowded theater and shouting fire unless there's really a fire. Everybody remain calm. There is a fire, and then everybody screams and runs out and tramples each other. They missed the whole remain calm part, but at least you didn't go in there and just shout fire. You see what I'm saying? At least tried. But, you know.
Tried, but was denied.
Yeah. But if you're on the mainstream media and you're pointing out that everybody's racist, or if you're cherry-picking parts of what somebody said and making them appear to be racist, and you're getting all these riots and protests going on, and you end up in a country where you really seriously do have racial tensions and riots, then you're the one that's at fault. You're the one going to be held accountable. And I keep trying to point out to, I hope the mainstream media is listening to my words, that right now, you're in your little protective bubble that you go to work and you live in a nice neighborhood where, you know, pretty much everything's safe and your local police are looking out for you and all that kind of stuff. But if you bring about the racial riots that people fear in this country and all heck breaks loose, and you got total anarchy going on where everybody's running around shooting each other, doing whatever the heck they dang well please, your little cushy job just went by the wayside. Your little cushy safe community, just, it don't matter if it's gated. You think if people ain't starving to death, they're not going to climb over that gate to get what you got in your refrigerator? So you really need to be cautious about what you say out there to people and how you say it. If you're going to tell everybody that the world is coming to an end, you better cushion that blow with but we've got a plan, so don't panic. We're going to fix this. We got shelters for people, and we're going to try to build more shelters, and together we can get this done. But if you go out there and shout, fire, and everybody tramples each other on the way out, or you go out there and start a race riot, and then your family ends up getting shot because of the color of their skin, just remember what you said on the mainstream media. And just remember why you said it. Just remember how well the ratings were all that time, and you just living high on the hog and being able to go out to fancy restaurants and all that. Now you ain't got that. You ain't got the protection of the police because they're too busy fighting off the thugs that are out there trying to shoot them.
Yeah, now you ain't got no friends.
Yeah, now your friends are gone. And the ones you thought were your friends will probably be the one climbing over your fence to get to your food in your refrigerator. Go watch the series Jericho. I want everybody out there in the mainstream media and the CIA and the NSA and the TSA and all the alphabet soups out there. Go watch that series from start to finish, Jericho. And you honestly pay attention to what's going on there and tell me that you want to live and you want your children to live in a society such as that. Where you got little towns that are building armies against each other. You got little towns that are raiding each other's supplies and warring amongst each other. You got towns where they're all barricaded in and you can't go outside for fear that if you try to go somewhere, if you need medicine, it's over in a neighboring town. You have to risk somebody's life to get over there to get it, to come back and save somebody's life. So not only they got to fight their way out, they got to fight their way back in. You want to live in a society such as that? If you don't, then my suggestion is you get your act together and you start telling the people the truth in a responsible manner.
The whole truth.
I got a solution. It's off the wall. Set up your time machine. Charge people 1 ounce of gold.
You missed a step there, man.
Charge people 1 ounce of gold to go back to 1910. And then take all the gold with you through the time machine. That's it. We'll all go there.
Well,
that's my solution. I don't see a way to correct this. Unless everybody's of like mind.
Yeah, we had a talk about you earlier. Inadvertently. See, there's a lot of folks
that's
out
what
there.
That's what it's about, getting people together and getting them in like mind.
Yeah.
It's not all political. It's about solutions. You told me that the other day.
There's a group of individuals out there, a lot of people out there in this world that see that society has deteriorated so much that they have lost all faith that anything could be repaired. And like you said, buddy, we got to find those folks of like mind while we got an opportunity to look for them. Because when you get all these like-minded folks together, you know, if you go back and look at the Civil War, very few people even fought in the Civil War. It was a small minority of people that actually determined the future of this country to where we are today. Now, had those very few people not have stood up, then we might be speaking some other language right now, or we might still be under the king's rule or whatever. You know, and if you listen to the conspiracy theorists, we may actually still be under the crown. I don't know. All I do know is this, that when you get a small amount of brilliant people to come together, then you get things done. And that's why until this entire system collapses, until it's all gone, until the economy's gone, until there ain't no more options, there ain't no more internet, there ain't no way to share information other than by horseback, if we have to go back to the old Pony Express until all the horses are dead, we still have an option. And if we even have to go back to delivering it by foot, you know, walking the message over to the neighboring community, saying we got this solution or, you know, cure for whatever disease or whatever. Until the entire system collapses, until all the different governments within a government all the way down to your local dog catcher is completely gone, then all hope is not lost. You know, the further you go backwards, the harder it is to get going forwards. If you understand what I'm trying to say. But you're not dead yet. Doomsday ain't here yet. If it's a rock coming from space or aliens with superior technology, then we might be screwed because we ain't prepared for that option, at least that we know of here. You know, the government probably does have some pretty nifty toys, but they ain't going to tell you about it. I don't know. What I do know is that it ain't over yet, because we're still having this conversation. And these conversations need to continue to go on. As long as there's a game to be played, such as life, the coach gets up there, he inspires the team to go for it and win the battle. Well, we're doing that. We're doing that right now. We got to keep on doing that, because if ain't nobody out there behind people saying hope isn't lost, then they're going to give up. When they give up, man, the side that you've been complaining about all this time wins. You see what I mean?
Yep. It's like trying to climb a doggone fuse. There's fire down below you that lit the fuse. You're climbing the fuse. You climb really fast and get ahead of it, but if you stop and wait, you gotta go for a mad day. Just keep going forward. You stop, you're in trouble.
Yep. I always
don't look for the monster behind you, because no matter how, if you run as fast as you possibly can, nothing you see behind you can make you run any faster, and you can focus all your attention on not tripping while running as fast as you can.
That's
running into the door jam instead of going through the door.
Ouch.
That's brilliant, Thomas. I'm glad you said that. That's brilliant. You know, I always reference what I call the good book. Now, regardless of what you think about the good book or whatever, I'm not going all political or historical deal there.
Hey, since you're going to talk about that, I do have one thing to say.
Well, get it out of your
run.
System.
Don't run. Running only attracts the attention of the immortal.
Huh. All right. Now, hear me out. Hear what I got to say here. Now, in that book, it says, like in the last portion of it, in the book of Revelations, it talks about wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. So if you took that book to heart, you would say that there is absolutely, without a doubt, nothing you can do. It's all pre-written in stone, and that's that. But also in that book, there were some words that were spoken that said that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. Not even the angels in heaven know what time. And so with that said, that means we're here until then. That means that we aren't done. All hope is not lost until then. That means that we can either choose to get our act together before then, or we can just, you know, sit back and say, well, you know, it's all going to heck anyway. Ain't nothing I can do about it. You know, boo-hoo. Life's terrible. No.
And it's hard not to fall into that gap, too.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I've even seen times where you were thinking of, nobody's hearing me, blah, blah, let's just cut the, you know, let's just stop this. And, you know, the only thing that keeps coming back into my mind is something my father told me. If business is slow, take your business outside. Find some work to do. When people see work, they will congregate.
Yeah.
They will come together. If you do it behind the closed doors, nobody sees it, nobody thinks about it, it's out of mind. So I had a wood shop, and it was slow. I took the scroll saw outside, put up an umbrella, and I started cutting things out. I was selling them as fast as I could cut them out, and then put paint on them. They were Christmas ornaments. This was long before Christmas. Before, I had nobody even stop them by. Then when people kept coming by wanting to look at the rest of the stuff, I had to move my scroll saw back inside so it wouldn't get stolen. And I started getting contracts to do more, and that kicked the business off.
Yep.
Just like my dad said. Well, let people see your work.
That's true.
And I want to attract attention.
I want to go back to
something. That's what this radio is about.
I want to go back to something you said about basically me getting discouraged, and also that what you talked about there is proof of what I've been trying to point out, is that you guys are the ones that kept me motivated. You guys are the ones that kept pointing out that there was a need, and so did everybody else out there listening in and the different networks that, you know, hey, if it hadn't been for...
I know, financial burden as well.
Yeah.
I praise you for keeping it.
if it hadn't been for the words of encouragement, if it hadn't been for your guys' gifts and skills, you know, we might not be having this conversation right now. But I'm glad that you were there. You were that piece of the puzzle that was necessary to keep this picture going. We got more pieces of the puzzle to bring together to make this picture, complete. But the fact that we're still moving forward is the fact that we still have hope, and this world isn't dead yet. We still have solutions on the table. We still have words of wisdom to put out there to motivate individuals to using those solutions and getting things done. That's what it's all about. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right.
Well, that's what we do at the Knights of the Round Table. And so for those folks out there listening, if you really want to support us, we're not asking you for money. All we're asking you for a bit of time, and, you know, take a second and throw a link over into one of your social networks and throw a comment down there. You know, these guys are either stupid or they're brilliant. You know, go listen to them. Whatever. Just get them to the table. Give them the option to stand up at the platform and use the microphone or get in the chat room. Like Stephen Gibbons, he's always posting links in that chat room down there, pertinent links to what we're saying. I was looking for the Dots deal, and he found the link to it, threw it up in the chat room. That's how it works.
Yeah, those videos he posted this morning were awesome. Thank you, Steve.
I want to read it again because I think it's really important that even the Knights hear this once in a while. The Knights' Code of Honor: let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what's right. And it's not always easy to do what's right. Sometimes you want to get on here and you just want to rip into those who are out there doing stupid, and you just want to, you know, let it all hang out. But we got to figure out a way that we can deliver our message in a respectful manner that can be accepted on the other side by other people of common sense and reason.
So what you're saying is let it all hang out, just don't let it all slang out.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be...
Control your vernacular. Be precise.
That's it.
Right. Think before you speak, or speak a little slower so you can think as you speak.
Yeah, it's a learned skill. It's not something we're actually necessarily born with, because depending on who you was raised up, it might be determined on how you... There's a reason why they say that cuss is like a sailor, because if you're ever in the Navy and you're hanging around a bunch of ship full of nothing but guys that are running around bleeping this and bleeping that all day long, you know. Of course, now they don't go up to their commanding officer and say, you bleepity bleep bleep, because they're going to get busted for doing it, but... Believe me, you'll hear it. If you ever join the Navy and you're in there, you know, unless things have changed since I was in there, the whole cursing like a sailor, you'll understand why it is the way that it is. I'm not sure how all the other militaries, because I've never served in the other militaries, but I can understand from where it was being out there on the sea for 60 to 90 days at a time and seeing, you know, nothing but water and other cranky people who worked 6 hours on, 6 hours off, or 12 hours on, 12 hours off. Yep. That's it. Curse like a sailor. But if you want people to look at you in a certain manner, then you act the way, in the manner at which you want them to look at you. You know, if you
I remember my dad telling me, my dad was a medic. His best friend, Jimmy, was the cook for the officer's mess. Well, they took some of that Navy soap, poured it in a big pot, threw a whole bunch of stuff, spiced it up, made a nice soup about it. Because the officers were being just total buttheads, and it was time to get a break and get back. Well, they came back for seconds. Come close to 12 o'clock that night, they were all trying to get into the latrine at once, and it didn't work too well. Raised a big stink. We sent them down to my dad, and my dad gave them something to help them go more. To clean their system out, of course. So no matter You know, no one is above the law. No one is above all this other stuff and the way they act and do things out here. I think it's about time for some soap soup.
Yeah.
Some of this.
Well, I think that some folks out there in the higher echelons of society actually had to eat some of the same things that the people in what would be classified as middle class or lower, whatever, that they might be a little bit more appreciative of their caviar when they're having it, wouldn't you think? So, you know, it's all about common sense. It's, we got to keep an eye out for everything that's going on and just do the best we can. Thomas, you're really distracting me. Is that Princess Leia?
Yeah. I'm just looking to see what it looks like on the camera with that.
It looked pretty good. Anyway, so the governments will do what the governments do as long as you ain't holding your feet to the fire. The media will do the same. And you and each other will do, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, that kind of deal. Any thoughts? Anybody? Because I had a thought in my mind and then Thomas distracted me with his art.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Where'd Raymond go?
That's something else when we need to do a picture like that. Oh. Shoot, no extra thoughts here. Good morning, Boomer.
He hadn't been on here for a while. He must be sleeping.
Must be doing something.
He's like me regaining his strength. I'm feeling about 65-70% now. So, that's good.
Well, and even in the alternative health community, I would say that you know, you need to keep doing what you're doing out there. You need to keep showing people alternative medicines. You know, there was a fruit that they said in Australia that only grows over in Australia in certain parts that is supposed to have a cure to cancer. You need to bring it to the front. That's what we need to do. We need to point all this stuff out. And I'll be willing to share that information out here with people on the Knights of the Round Table if you got it. It's, you know, just about every subject under the sun is up for discussion around the table. We talk about world events. We talk about solutions.
Problem is, you sit there and you make that fruit known and you call for the cure. All of a sudden it becomes property of the FDA and you have to have a prescription, and it's a controlled substance, and every bit of it will be harvested until the tree dies, and it won't be around no more.
Well,
just because
of course that's
it costs the pharmaceutical lots of money.
Of course, that's the way the system would play it out. But if the average Joe pays attention right now and doesn't ask for permission, you know, it's like that, you know. If you go and you get the governments involved, governments have this uncanny ability to screw up everything they touch. Oh, it's for the better of everybody. It ends up costing everybody a lot of money. There's a lot of... I saw a deal on there where Eric Trump had to close down his charity that is helping cancer patients out, little boys and girls that have cancer and happen to go through chemotherapy. And first off, I'm really frustrated about the whole chemotherapy thing to begin with, because the scientific portion of the deal is that if you bust down somebody's immune system and cause their hair to fall out and make them sicker, trying to make them better, it shouldn't make you sick getting better. And if there's a capability of some sort of natural fruit out there being a cancer cure, and it's not being explored by the mainstream medical, you have to ask why. And you said it just a minute ago, buddy, the mainstream pharmacy, you know, they want to make money, they don't want you to, you don't want to have a cure for the common cold if you're selling cold medicine. But that doesn't mean that the average Joe has to overlook it. That doesn't mean that the average Joe can't go find this fruit and protect it and plant it elsewhere. See where else it'll grow. Grow it inside, aquaponics, hydroponics, or whatever. You know, when you come across things like that...
Look at the chaga mushroom.
Yeah.
Chaga mushrooms like to grow up there in that cold climate, but they had people just rather than climbing the tree or taking a pole and knocking the chaga mushroom off, they just cut the tree down.
See, that's ridiculous.
And they had to do something about that. People just cutting down all the birch. You know, come on now. That's kind of stupid. That's like, your mainstay is meat being pigs, but, let's just kill them all and then don't let them breed and don't feed them. No, that's a little stupid. Then you ain't going to have any more pig left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that and, let's see, so the chaga mushroom does a lot for stopping cancer and cures it sometimes. And doggone, you look on eBay, everybody's selling it now. And they don't care if it's in season or out of season when they harvest it. Because the only time to harvest chaga mushroom is in the winter. You better make sure you got it from a reputable seller and harvester. And somebody, you know, that actually cares, that it actually does what it's supposed to do. And then you got hemp oil. You know, 2 weeks of being stoned off your butt by taking a drop of it on the end of a pin every day and wiping it on your tongue. That's not a big price for living and not having to destroy your immune system.
Well, hemp seed oil isn't the one that's going to get you stoned. It's hemp is a cousin of the cannabis plant, but it doesn't have the THC in there. I use hemp seed oil, and I never get stoned off of it. It's not like that.
Yeah, it doesn't have the THC in it.
I have seen from my own personal use that it does work. It really does work. And so, you know, you got to get the non-pasteurized, the one that basically is cold-pressed and is all natural hemp seed oil. And there are other alternative medicines out there that you have to research and you know, check and double-check and recheck. You know, you're not going to be able to go to your doctor and ask them, you know, hey, what do you think of hemp seed oil? Because they're going, well, you know, that's not going to help you out. You need chemo. All right, well...
You got to look at baking soda. It's 99 cents a box for a year's supply of dipping your finger in it.
Yeah.
And rubbing it on a skin cancer, and it falls off, and when it's done doing its job, there's no scar. I had that big cancer on the side of my face about 3.5 inches long by about 2 inches wide, and it stuck out a little bit more than a quarter inch. And, I mean, and all the hair that grew out of it was white. I had my sideburns and skin. Now, it is gone. It fell off. I mean, when it started falling off, I had a hole in my face. I said, ooh, this is going to look nasty. No. I was very surprised. I just kept wet my finger, stick it in the baking soda, and rub it till my finger was clean. I did that every day at least once. And that's it. And I have, there's no sign of it ever being there. Not even a spot, not a brown spot. I have pink skin.
Well, that's a good
the same color as the rest of my face there. And like Boomer said, you think you got cancer? And this one guy, his whole family all died somewhere in their 40s, all the way on back of cancer. Now this guy's up in his 70s now. And he's just been taking a spoon of baking soda every day. Disease cannot live in an alkali environment.
That's why
baking soda is pretty doggone cheap.
That's why
real
everybody
cheap.
Who has tested these on themselves or whatever, or has testimonies, need to talk to each other about it and share, you know, like I said, you gotta basically take everything with a grain of salt, do a little bit of research, see what other people are saying, but try it before you deny it kind of thing, you know. The alternative is, you got little kids going through chemotherapy, radiation therapy, just to try to kill cancer cells in the process. They're suffering. They're miserable. Their hair falls out. They're sick all the time. You know, and it's a terrible way to go. I watched my cousin at 14 years old. She never smoked in her life. You can ask her mom that. Why I got cancer, Mom? I don't smoke. You know, and she died at 14 years old. They didn't have all the treatments that they got nowadays, you know, but she went through chemotherapy and she lost her hair. And
the thing is, that was back in the 40s is when they figured out that baking soda cured cured it, cured a lot of things. And vitamin B17.
Well,
the purple and florette of broccolis. When you go down to the store and you get broccoli, you look and you see the florets aren't just green, they're kind of purplish. That substance there cures cancer.
She, in my view, died an unnecessary, untimely, and a very miserable death. And I feel that with all the stuff that I know now, had I been back then, if I would have could have got anybody to listen to me, that she might even actually had a chance. You know, and I'm like this, if you already got the disease, what do you got to lose to at least try alternative medicines? And if the alternative medicines work for you...
Would you rather die feeling sick without your hair? Or would you rather die looking healthy and actually feeling good?
Yep. Quality of life says a lot. Well, folks, we're down to it. So, we'll go around the table real quick. But before we do that, we just want to say that there's a lot of possibilities out there in this world. And hope isn't lost until it's all over with. Until World War III starts and doomsday's here and it's all gone and there ain't no fixing it, then there is a chance to fix it. I believe we can fix it. You know, if you want to join us here and help us out, we'll get together, we'll resolve issues, we'll give people ideas, and send them down the right path. So with that said, who wants to go first? Anybody?
I will. I'll go ahead and make this one statement. If I ever get cancer or anything they say is going to be terminal, I'm going to be a bacon soda eating, bungee jumping, hang gliding thrill seeker until the day I die.
Yep. Go out with style. Having fun. Enjoying it.
With my hair.
What about you, Thomas?
I think we just need to reiterate the science store that's coming, that's going to have stuff that people can buy based on what they want. We need to put a kind of like a thing in there where they can request and start giving ideas of the stuff that they want. You want to experiment with tools and whatnot, and supplies for experimenting. Hopefully we'll be able to get that stuff to you. We'll have some trinkets and whatnot for those people who aren't really sure what they want, but they still want to support, you know, something that you can show off, or maybe make a little conversation starter that you can use to basically, you know, spread the word about solutions and whatnot that you may have. So, I don't know, you need to get some sort of comment system, I guess, together for sure. A suggestion box. We need a suggestion box that they're not going to, and ignore the, I suggest you get rid of the suggestion box people.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, let people throw their information in there. Like, I like red, I like blue, I like green, you know. I like that design, I like this design. I don't want that, I want this, you know. Let's hear what we've got to say. Because, you know, we need money to do the stuff we're doing, but we don't want people just giving it to us. We want to actually give you something in exchange for it. And if you don't want what we've got, you keep the money. Use it for something else.
Yep.
Use your money for what you need or what you want. If we can be, you know, that provider to help you out with that, then great. We can't, no big deal, you know.
www.shazizradio.com/the-plan.html. Just Google it up. I'll drop the link into the chat room again before we close the show. It has a essentially a small survey and a suggestion box. Plus, you can use the actual chat room until we get a actual suggestion box together to drop in ideas and suggestions. And, you know, like you said, you know, if we get together, we know what you want and we know what we need to work on. We can move forward and get things accomplished. There are a lot of possibilities out here. We got a lot of brilliant people that have a lot of talents. And we're going to put some things together. Somebody already beat me to it. No, it was me. I beat myself to it. I already posted it.
See, I'm working on a tool system to provide energy, capability to use that energy, and the ability to take things that you don't need and turn them back into useful materials so you can use that energy to make things with the other device that makes things. So that's where all my research is at right now. I think that would be the best solution. Desktop it, too.
Yep.
Make it small enough that even if it takes up the whole desktop and it's three devices doing it, it'll still fit on the desktop. You can still throw it in the bed of a truck or in the back seat and you know, between the back seat and the trunk, you could haul it anywhere you need to and set up and do whatever you got to do, so that way people can't go, wow, we know how to handle that guy. He got his address right here.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Go ahead and go to the address. I don't have to be there. I can be anywhere. I am everywhere. I am the dark of the night.
Sam Wafer, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, folks, if you find something on our website that resonates with you and you want to share it out there to the world, we'd really appreciate it. Bring some people to the table. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I want to thank all the honorable Knights of the Round Table. And I want to thank all the listeners and everybody who joins us in the chat room and basically keeps us motivated, keeps being like the coach behind the scenes. You know, we're telling you, you got hope and that you can do it. If you set your mind to it and we all get together, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Check out the plan on shazoozradio.com. That's what we're working in, the alternative energy. It's like Thomas mentioned, we're putting together a store so we can maybe sell some little products that would help to basically further our research and give everybody, you know, something that we've been working towards all along. I fully believe in free energy, and then before it's all said and done, that's my ultimate goal, to basically take that burden off of people's back and give them the option to at least be able to live comfortable no matter where they're at. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh. How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table.
many times we give and rise to that white unseen able. We're the rock of magic Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. Always looking Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.